May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be ever acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
When I was young, growing up in Virginia, my parents would take the family every autumn, around this time, on a camping trip to the Shenandoah National Park. And I loved this camping trip. I looked forward to it every year, and right about when school started in September, I began to pester my parents, especially my father, about this camping trip. I said, "Dad, are we going on the camping trip again this year? When are we going to go? Are we going to go? When are we going to go?" And my father, seeing how enthusiastic I was, made a little game of it. So he'd say, "I can see that you really want to go on this camping trip. What are you going to do to ensure that we can go?" And then he'd come up with a chore or a task that I'd have to do. And then he'd say, "Well, if you promise to do that, I'll look in to this camping trip. No guarantees, no promises, but I'll look into it." And so I was very, very young. And the year that I think I first started school, he said, "Well, do you promise to do your homework every night?" "Yes, Dad, yes, I can do my homework every night. I'm going to do my homework. I promise. I said, "Okay." Another year it was, "Do you promise to set the table for dinner and then clear the dishes away and put them in the sink afterwards every night?" "Yes, Dad, I can do that. I'm able to do that. I promise to do that." "Okay." And then one year, this is a big one, "Do you promise to take the dog out for a walk every night before you go to bed?" "Yes, Dad, I can take the dog out. I can take the dog for a walk." "No, I don't think you understand. You've got to do it every night because the dog has got to do her business every night. You can't skip a night." I know. "I promise I can do this." I don't think you know what you're agreeing to. Even if it's cold, even if it's raining, you're going to be walking that dog." "Yes, Dad, I know. I can do this. Well, as a little kid, this one was hard for me. And very soon into it, I started to complain and whine, and I did not want to walk that dog, and I wanted out of this agreement. But I had given my word. I was locked in. And as the years went on, and I got older, I became more involved with school, my extracurriculars started piling up, my parents would become very busy in October, and it just really wasn't feasible for the family to take a week off and go on this camping trip. And so eventually this family tradition ended. But even after, long after we had stopped going to the mountains, I was still walking that dog. That sort of yearly agreement that I had between my father and myself, Jesus does sort of the same thing with James and John, doesn't he? You know, they come up to him, and they say, "Master, we really want something. We want to sit at your right hand and your left hand, your glory." And Jesus really could have just cut straight to the answer and said, "Hey, guys, thanks for the request, but I can't grant you that." Instead, he gets something out of James and John. He says, you want to sit at my right hand and my left hand? I don't think you know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup that I'm going to drink?" Yes, we can do that. We can do that. Can you be baptized with the baptism that I'm going to be baptized with?" "Yes, Lord, we can do that. We are able." "Okay. Well, honestly, I can't grant you what you want. But now that you've agreed to that cup and to that baptism thing, I'm going to hold you to that." And I don't think Jesus is being sneaky and trying to get something out of James. I also don't think he's trying to teach James and John responsibility in the same way my father was trying to teach me responsibility when I was young. I do think that Jesus really wants to engage with James and John. And I think specifically, he really wants to hear those three words, "We are able." Those three words, I think, are the linchpin of this entire gospel passage. And I'll explain why, but I think it's important, first of all, to recognize that James and John say those three words, "We are able," out of utter ignorance. As Jesus says, they have no idea what they're saying. They have no idea what they're agreeing to. And they have no idea what it's going to be like to be followers and disciples of Jesus Christ. And yet, we know when they say those words, we are able, they're right. With the benefit of hindsight, we know that James and John turn out to be wonderful disciples. John is the longest-lived disciple, and he's associated with John the Evangelist, who writes the Gospel of John, founds the Johannine community, and more than any other Christian community, the Johannine community is foundational to the development of Christian orthodoxy. And James is associated with the first martyred disciple, the first of the 12 to be killed for the faith, and his death is recorded in the Acts of the Apostles. So these two serve as examples of individuals who are willing and able to take that cup and to be baptized with that baptism that Jesus was baptized for. I know in this parish we're also reading this story. And if you've read the chapter for this week, it's entitled Deliverance, and it is about the Israelites, Exodus out of Egypt. Well, the Israelites also make a request of God, and they do it out of a little bit of ignorance. They say to God, save us. We are being oppressed by Pharaoh. We don't like this. And God says, well, I'll do this for you. But they really have no idea what they're requesting. They have no idea what it's going to be like to pack up their homes and trundle out into the desert. They don't know what it's going to be like to have the Egyptian army bearing down on them. They have no idea what it's going to be like to be hungry and thirsty as they wander about for 40 years. And they really have no idea what it's going to be like to come to the promised land and have to fight and kick out the people who already live there. So they don't know what it's like when they make this request, oh God, save us. And yet, they are able to do it. For 40 years, they persevere. And if you know anything about the history of the Jewish people, over the millennia, they have been able to persevere again and again and again. So these three words, we are able, they're really important. But if you think about it, we are able, not because of anything that we have ourselves, right? If it were really up to the Israelites, they would have turned around and gone back to Egypt at the first opportunity. As soon as they were scared or hungry, as soon as their feet hurt, they would have turned around. If you look at that little Michael, I would have stopped walking that dog after day 4. I think that's when I realized I wanted out. And though it's not really mentioned in the scriptures, you can imagine James and John, disciples for the rest of their life, and at some point, they probably said, you know, this is tough. I don't think I want to be a disciple. I don't think I want to be a Christian. I want to go back to my life as a fisherman. This is hard. And yet, they commit themselves. So what is it about being able? That statement, we are able, is true, not because of anything that we have, that we bring into it. It's because of God and because of the grace of God. When we cry out, God, we are able, what we're really saying is, God, we are open. We are open to whatever may come. We're open to you and to the grace of God. We have faith and trust that you will make us able to be able to become your disciples, to follow you, to do your will. Now, I know this very intimately because I am brand new here. And if you weren't here last week and have no idea who this is speaking to you, I am your new assistant rector. Thank you. I was called here, by the search committee 19 days ago. It's only been 19, and here I am standing in front of you talking to you. So it's very, very new to me, and I remember what it was like not to be here, to be in that search process. And I so wanted to come to St. Mary's. I so wanted to be here to serve with you and to do ministry with you. And then I was called here, and I came, and last Tuesday I had a meeting with Libby in her office. And we sat down, and she started going over my job description. All the project areas and ministries that I'm going to be doing, I'm taking notes on my notepad and keep doing more and more, and just coming out, more stuff. I'm like, and I begin to feel a little overwhelmed, and I hear this voice in the back of my head, oh, Michael, you want to be our assistant rector. You have no idea what you're asking. there's going to be a baptism of fire. And will you be able to handle it? And I realized, well, yes, I am able. Not because of anything that I have, but because of such wonderful love and support I have from my spouse, from Libby, and from really all of you, and certainly from God. It is because of the God amongst us, the grace that we all have, that I'm going to be able, you're going to be able, we'll all be able to do some really wonderful and great ministry together. I think there are opportunities in our life when this happens. Opportunities, it may be when we start a new job, or when we start a new relationship, when new life comes into our world through children or through grandchildren. It could be also when we end a job, or when we end a relationship. Times when we are ready for something new, and we might be excited about it, and we might say, you know what, I'm able to do this. Mm-hmm. When we reflect on these times, and I'm going to invite all of us over the course of this week to reflect on those times when we've been excited about something new, and we've said, you know what, I can do this, I'm able. To remember that what we're saying when we say we're able, it's really that we are open. Open, O God, to you. O God, may your grace fill me and lead me into whatever is coming in the weeks and months and years ahead. That faith, that trust, that openness is the gift that God holds out to us at all times. I invite us to live into that together as we do ministry. Amen.
Amen.
Let us stand and profess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.